Well, welcome to A World of Good Podcast. My name is Andrew Gale. So grateful you've joined us on this special podcast. We're actually doing a video podcast. We've done these kind of as live podcasts before. We've never done a video podcast in such a fancy setting as we currently are. I mean, the lights, the camera, it's pretty incredible. But we're doing this as a special podcast for our campaign that we have going on right now called Give for Good. And so if you want to learn more about that, you can go to our website, chaglobal.org/giveforgood. Maybe you're not watching this on the YouTube channel. Maybe you are listening to this podcast. That's great too. It'll be just as good, maybe better, only listening to it, not having to see us. But we're grateful that you're here joining us for this conversation. And I'm so grateful that I'm joined with my good friend, Mark Fulton. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And so, Mark, I want to talk a little bit about, in our Give for Good campaign, we're talking about projects and things that are happening globally. And you have been intimately involved in one of the projects that we get to be a part of. And we're so grateful we get to work with the church in Haiti to make this happen, but the St. Art Hospital. And we know Haiti there's been lots of news around Haiti, right? It comes on and off our radar, I think, in the United States. Sometimes we hear about increasing violence that's happening, and then it goes away for a time, and then it comes back. But I never feel like I fully understand what's going on because we're only getting snippets. So in this moment right now, we know this podcast, people could be listening to this a year from now, and it's not going to be updated information then. But for today, for where we are in spring 2025, can you give us an update of what's currently happening in Haiti?
Sure, thanks. That's a very complicated issue, and it's an ever-changing issue. And the thing that comes to mind is what's going on in Haiti is that there are good people living in the midst of chaos. Yeah. And as we follow some of the political news globally, and I try to keep in touch with what the United Nations presents on a daily basis, usually, constant chaos, I think, is a term that they have because the gangs are in charge of the central part. Now, Haiti as a country is shaped like a 90-degree turned U. Okay. And so the base of the U is where the bulk of the violence is. And so the tips of the U still have some areas that are functioning somewhat normally as they can, although some violence is sneaking into those areas as well. But in Port-au-Prince, in the heavily populated area, the gangs are in control with little government stability or little help from the police because the police oftentimes is outmanned and outgunned.
Yeah, so there are parts in Haiti where, I mean, some people may hear that, oh, there are parts of Haiti that are fine, which is true for certain areas.
Correct.
But there are other areas that are still in significant turmoil.
Sure.
Where does the hospital find itself in the midst of that geography?
Unfortunately, we're in a bit of the more tumultuous areas around us, but we're so thankful that God has put a shield around that hospital in that area. And while we've had some times we've had to evacuate patients, et cetera, we still are finding ourselves functioning 24/7 and lying to provide hope in the name of Christ through healthcare.
Now, you've been working with the hospital for, and this is a complicated question, but off and on for how many years?
Since 1993.
Okay. And you have lived in Haiti from what time to what time? What years?
We were in Haiti we lived full time from 2014 until a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, cause you've been in the States for a number of years now, I think with all of the violence, but I couldn't remember. So 2014 to, just in the last couple of years. Which I think is a helpful perspective that you're not just a flyby, flyover missionary. Your engagement, you were on the ground there with them for a number of years. You know that area really well, which is why when I read the news, I always come to you to say, what are you seeing and what were you experiencing on the ground? Now, one of the incredible things I think about the Church of God Hospital is that, like you said, it continues to serve in the midst of this really difficult time. What updates can you give us on what's happening at the hospital? What are some challenges you're facing, some successes? What are some stories you can share about what's currently going on there?
Yeah, we're so thankful, as I mentioned before, that the hospital is still functioning. And yes, there are challenges. Supply chain, as you can imagine, with roads being blocked, with supplies being shut off, it's difficult even to find bandages or anesthesia. If we're going to do a cesarean section for a mom, we have different pieces like an anesthesiologist. We have to have an OB. We have to have all the necessary meds. And to get all those pieces together sometimes is so difficult. Yeah. And so then we have to refer elsewhere. But the thankful part of this is that more often than not, we can have those pieces together in different ways of being creative to get those pieces. Also, keeping the staff to be able to get to the hospital in such tumultuous times.
There's like transportation, transportation, like just getting there.
Because roads are blocked and roads are dangerous. And so oftentimes they'll come and they'll, we have places for them to stay for a week because they can't go back to their families. But
these are Haitian doctors. They're, just for those
everyone.
Know,
everyone there is Haitian, still serving the community. And we're thankful that we can still talk to daily the staff, and they're empowering each other, you know, to make this happen. So challenges, yes. successes, yes. All glory to God in that.
Any exciting stories of things that have happened recently in the last couple months that you can think of that would give us a perspective of what's been happening?
There are so many stories, but I think there on a daily basis, there is still life being brought to the world. There are babies being born in that hospital. There are people who are sick, who have nowhere else to go, can't get elsewhere, may come over the mountains on by donkey or whatever, or have had to run from their homes, are injured, and the hospital is a place to go. So there are specific cases of people who have been injured, have nowhere to go, or they have no homes, and we actually will keep them in the community for a while, give them food, give them lodging, and healthcare after they've healed. So many of those stories. Yeah.
And you guys have shipments that come in, and are those all getting to the hospital? Like, how is that going? Because you talked about supply chains. Has that been one of the places that has been challenging for you? And anything connected to that we could know about, be praying for, be thinking about?
Yeah, absolutely. We are still able to get a few shipments through, and we talk to our people on the ground, our Haitians on the ground. They tell us now is a time you should be able to get a few items through safely. And then that is coordinated in many different ways to get to the port and back to the hospital. But we try to provide things that cannot be found in country or things that are too expensive to be found in a country. We always try to support the local economy as we can. Yeah. But yes, shipments are getting through. Sometimes it takes months. Yeah. But thankfully, so far, over the last few years, we haven't had anything taken.
That's great. And as a hospital, you guys are, for someone who's thinking, when we think hospitals overseas, we sometimes have different views. Like sometimes they're clinics, sometimes. So what all types of departments and work do you do at the hospital?
Yeah, and it tends to be altered based upon the type of healthcare professional we can get there.
Sure.
But, you know, currently we have a couple of OBGYNs. We have emergency docs. We have a full operational emergency room. We have two operating rooms with the general surgeon. We have family practice medicine. We have radiology. We have a pharmacy. We have a dentist and eye care occasionally. We have a prosthetic lab that is still functioning, not as often as we'd like, but still functioning. And then we have a vaccination clinic for pediatric
area. And all of that in the midst of trying to find supplies, it's just incredible to me that again, in my mind, when I think about the chaos that I envision in that space, I can't imagine that you're still having OBs, that you're still having, you know, emergency room. I mean, all the different aspects you just described. It's incredible that you guys continue to stay open and do what you're doing.
God is good. I mean, you know, some of the services that we can provide isn't to the level we would like.
Sure.
But certainly we're thankful to be open to provide any level of care and saving lives and giving hope. So God is good.
So you mentioned that you've been here in the United States for a number of years now. You continue to work with the hospital virtually, which what a blessing it is that we can stay connected as easily. I'm reading some books on history of missions, especially in the Church of God. And I mean, just the way the technology has changed, we have the ability to connect in ways that was just not possible.
And just to kind of interject, even though we've been here for a couple of years, I went back and carried in a satellite dish with a donkey over the mountains to get to the hospital so that we could make this happen. But it's been such a blessing because we can connect every day.
Yeah, which one of the stories I just read was about one of the early missionaries that worked in Mexico riding a donkey down to the southern part of Mexico. So that you follow in the footsteps of missionaries before. But that's incredible. I think that is what's really neat, that you're able to stay connected and still serve and still be helping with the administration side. As you said, you have doctors on the ground that are Haitian that are making things run, but being able to meet virtually with those leaders and encourage and hear what's going on and be of assistance. But I also appreciate that you're a person that that is always going. So you are not going to be able to be here in the States and not also engage somewhat locally. And so tell us a little bit about the work that you've been doing in Indianapolis. I think that is... When I heard you were doing this, I was like, of course, Mark Fulton is connecting with the Haitian community here in Indianapolis. But I just thought that was really encouraging. I thought maybe others would appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, sure. Well, due to the situation in Haiti, many Haitians have necessarily found their way to another country, oftentimes being the United States, because their homes may have been burned. Their families may have been threatened. Their businesses are gone. They have no place to be. And so, thankfully, the country of the United States has extended an invitation to come to this country. Yeah. But the intricacies of getting everything done in our country is so difficult. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we who are born here, people like me, understood that or understand that until we're faced with it. And so to have a glimpse into both cultures a little bit and to be able to learn some from my Haitian colleagues on what is difficult to understand about our country, as well as to understand where they came from and maybe pave that path just a little bit, has been a blessing for me and hopefully a little bit for them as well.
I love that. And I think that's one of the things that I've been really challenged by is that oftentimes I think it's easy to feel like I can go and serve somewhere that's outside of my home culture. Like, I have no problem going and serving in Mexico. I have no problem going and serving in Haiti. But then when those people, I'm confronted with them in my own community, do I exude the same heart and love for them that I take with me when I go down to that country when it's in my own backyard? I mean, I think that is a question that I've had to wrestle with for me personally. And so to see you live that out, that you love and care for that community when you live there, you know, helping to make sure that a hospital is there to provide the kind of medical care that is a part of the dignity that a community deserves. But then also to say that, oh, but when those same brothers and sisters show up at my door here in Indianapolis, how can I help and support them? You have the language, you have the skills and ability to do that. And the fact that you're using that here to me is just, it's so perfect and it's so Mark. I love that about you. And so I'm really grateful for that.
Well, thank you. I'm thankful for the opportunity, but it's an opportunity for all of us.
Absolutely.
As the world comes to us, there are people that need help all around us. And so I think what a great opportunity for the church.
Yeah, I am all for us connecting as folks in the US and Canada go and serve overseas. But we would be remiss not to recognize that so much of the world is here and that missions can be supporting and loving those communities that are here and figuring out how to do that, you know, with the hope and light that Jesus gives us.
Amen.
Last question. How can we be praying for you, the communities that you're part of, both near and far? What things can we be lifting up?
Yeah, well, you know, in spite of the things going on in Haiti, the church is still there. The church had an incredible Holy Week for Easter and services every day and feet washing. And so God is still alive. Yeah. God is well in that Haitian community. So pray for the church and pray for the hospital and the people of Haiti that they somehow find a way out of this mess. Yeah. It's too complicated for me, but you know, I don't understand all the realities that need to occur, but pray for our brothers and sisters there because they're serving God, the same God we are. And they understand that that's where their hope lies, but boy, to have that hope and help during the daily life is so crucial. So please pray for them. And then as far as, you know, our local Haitian community, as well as other immigrant communities, you know, it's complicated times in our world. And so just wisdom, you know, know what they need to do for their next steps as well.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for the way that you love and care and share the hope of Christ with people in all kinds of different ways. Grateful that I get to work with you and grateful that you joined us to share a little about what's going on in Haiti. Really appreciate it.
So appreciate being able to share and always appreciate you and what you do.
And thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter @AWorldOfGoodPod on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/aworldofgood. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.